When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Josh Briscoe, pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network. Briscoe, I'm guessing you've never worn a crop top in your life.
No, I can't say that I have. Although, look, I mean, Drew's a fit guy. I think that this is not a bet that I would have waded into personally because I know my limits. I've worn a lot of strange things. I am not in any way above a costume or anything like that. But this one in particular would really latch onto my insecurities, I think.
I think people should do more bets on air, though. The other two shows should get involved in this, too. I want to see other people in this station embarrassed besides me, Alex, and Drew.
Yeah, as they should be. And in fact, not only do I agree with that point, Cody, I will say I need the right of refusal, but I'm willing to put myself into some of these realms.
Okay.
If that's what it takes to get Carrington or Rob into the line of fire, we get Fesco or Dusty into the line of fire, I think that would be good for everybody. So yeah, I'll see what I can do. Let me know if there's anything that I need to do to make this a more pro on-air bet and embarrassment station.
I think this is more than fair. We'll stay away from physical harm. Briscoe and I once fired ping pong balls
physical
at somebody.
Arm,
and I feel still bad for that moment. I feel bad for that moment.
I don't think you should. I think sometimes, look, you can't make an omelet or radio history without breaking a few eggs or ping pong balls. And so I think you just got to accept that that's a part of your legacy, and how you deal with that throughout the rest of your life is between you and a higher power.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's talk about the Chiefs at least a little bit. Let's start with the Rashee Rice end of things, and let's set the allegations aside because really all we have right now is the one Instagram post. We don't have any police reports. We don't have much to go on outside of that. Do you view it the way we do, which is, though, even with this just being out there, this feels like it signifies the Rashee Rice at maximum has till the end of his deal next season to be a Chief, which means wide receiver for us and tight end and running back all become far more of a need, knowing that you don't have anybody long-term at wide receiver that you know is going to be a producer.
I mean, even as of like 5 days ago, I think I would have probably agreed with that. The Rashee Rice thing was going to be a conversation this year, I think, of like, so, and really, again, let's go back before this season began. The Rashee Rice future conversation was an interesting one because you start to get in that space of, well, he's had his off the field stuff and maybe he can be like a true number one wide receiver. If he can kind of take the baton from Travis Kelce this year, maybe you try to get a deal done with him early on to make him be that bridge into the next era of this Chiefs offense. Just with how this season went, I was kind of, I don't know, stepping back from that a little bit because I just don't think we saw enough from him this year as a football player. I don't think we saw enough from him this year to be confident that that was going to be the next phase, the next number one weapon for Patrick Mahomes, even though that was the hope coming into this year. Now, like you said, we'll just see what ends up coming up over the next few weeks. I assume that there will be more information as we go, but you can't be suspended for the first six games of this season and have the entire well-covered wreck and everything, and then feel like you are a steady force. I mean, you know exactly who this guy is. So it's just more uncertainty and more unknowns around Rashee Rice, which is something on a variety of levels he couldn't afford to have more of.
Does the potential outcome, whatever that is for Rashee Rice, one way or the other, does that change how you would proceed with Travis Kelce? Let's say he does decide he wants to play football in 2026. You know, I was hesitant on the financial and not hesitant for Travis Kelce to come back, but I said I'm a little more critical of what that dollar amount needs to look like. If Rice is not around, I said, well, then I don't care what the dollar amount is for Travis Kelce. I just got to get him back.
So here's the thing, is I do agree with that, and man, what an unfortunate place to be if that is kind of one of the motivating factors to making that work again, because the reason that I think another year of Travis Kelce makes sense for everybody, for Kelce and for the team and for the long-term future, not just 2026, the reason that makes sense to me is because you're still trying to fulfill this version of the offense where Travis Kelce is your third weapon and not the guy that has to be relied on 90% of the snaps in games that matter and being the guy that Mahomes is always looking to. And obviously we don't know when we'll see Mahomes next year, But I do think that there is a very, very reasonable case to be made that Travis Kelce is worth the $10 or $12 million, if that is what it takes. This is the number I've heard people throwing around. If that's what it takes for him next year, I think he's worth that cost in a one-year deal to keep Travis Kelce in this offense for one more season. But I don't want to do that in the name of making him the number one weapon out of necessity. And so, I mean, look, I was excited about the prospects of Carnell Tate a week ago. I think that there is a need for more in this wide receiver room. That was true a week ago. The Chiefs have reportedly made the change at wide receivers coach. They're clearly not happy with how those wide receivers have developed over these last couple of years. You didn't see the step forward from Rice or from Worthy that you really hope to see this year. So I am baseline. This has been true since we started having the conversation about retirement. I am perfectly, perfectly happy to have Travis Kelce back next year. I think that the influence he has on the field and in the practice facility and throughout the week, I think that is a net positive that outweighs what his cap cost would be. But I really don't want the Chiefs to go in the next year saying, okay, one more year of just putting everything on Travis Kelce's shoulders, and then we'll build the future. You want to have that succession plan in place after I don't think they got the succession plan they wanted this year.
There is a non-zero chance, and I'm not saying that this is exactly how to go. This is a worst-case scenario. They'll be looking for their number one running back, number one tight end, and number one wide receiver in this offseason. Where do you think the offensive line is? This is something Alex and I seem to disagree with on the public. Do you think the offensive line, as it currently sits, is acceptable going into next year? Forget the depth part, just 1 through 5.
I don't know where you guys stand as opposed to the public, so I'm kind of excited to find out if we disagree. I don't have any questions about the offensive line 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with the offensive line 1 through 6. I think between Esipole and Jalen Moore, you're going to get a starting caliber right tackle. And I guess there's a little bit of the unknown with Josh Simmons, but I think he seems like more of an unknown because of the injury at the end of the year. And you go, man, it's like he wasn't out there for like half the season. And that's obviously true. But you have the personal thing earlier in the year, and then at the end, you just had his wrist messed up. So I think perhaps the best silver lining of this season was Kingsley Suamataia at left guard. You got everything you wanted to see when he was available from Josh Simmons. Creed and Trey Smith. And then I think between Jalen Moore and Esipole, I feel decent about that right tackle spot. And the fact that I feel great about 4 spots and good about the 5th, I really do think the offensive line is one place for the first time in a long time that you'll probably draft a depth piece in the 4th, 5th, 6th round and try to build your future a little bit out that way and see where they stand on Caliendo and Norzad and whatnot. But no, I do feel good about the O-line.
Josh Briscoe joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Yesterday we were going through the free agent pool of running backs. It's actually a really good group. You know, there's a variety of backs depending on how aggressive you want to get with that position. Because of that, do you feel like free agency is the best path to solve this running back room? And maybe the answer is both, but it feels like you can address running back at a cheaper cost versus spending high-end draft capital because we know a free agent defensive end is going to cost way more.
Yep, I think that's absolutely right. That is where I'm coming at here. And I think if you have a chance to get an impactful pass rusher, impactful defensive lineman, you could do that at number 9 overall. Jeremiah Love is an excellent football player, and I think he'll probably have an excellent pro career. But if you're going to spend that draft pick on a running back, he's got to be Bijan Robinson. Like, he can't be a top 15 running back or a top 10 running back. He's got to be a top 3 back the entirety of his rookie contract. It's just hard to do that. That's a huge expectation to put on a young back taking that early in the draft. And when you do have a free agency class that has some names where you go, oh, well, there might be a dozen guys on here who would have clearly been the number one running back on this year's Chiefs team. I think the Chiefs are going to try to go into the draft without any single obvious need that they have to draft to fill. It's just, you know, that's a tough way of doing business. But I think you're probably going to see a number of new faces in the running back room. And for me, I think my preferred path there would be that you do, and I'm not like deeply in love with Tyler Algier, but just to throw his name out there as one of the options.
Yeah.
If it's Algier and a 3rd or 4th round running back, I would prefer that with a pass rusher or wide receiver at 9 overall than I would Jeremiah Love at number 9, and then you try to cobble together wide receiver and defensive line and free agency.
Rather than ask you who you'd hate, because there's certainly names that we all don't want, who is your dream, who are your dream candidates for offensive coordinator for the Chiefs? Now that we know that job is most likely, and by all of reporting, will be open with Matt Nagy being a free agent, who do you want to see?
I guess my dream scenario is one that I don't think is probably going to happen. It's Mike McDaniel now that he is available. I just think he has done some really fascinating things offensively in Miami and before that, of course, as well, that earned him that head coaching job. I like him as a person. I think that he will get another head coaching job, and I'd be fine if I was a fan of a team that gave Mike McDaniel a head coaching opportunity at some point in the future. Same for Kevin Stefanski, who I just think is going to get a head coaching job as soon as he decides where he wants to go. He would also be great to add to this staff. And again, I don't think that's realistic. The Cliff Kingsbury of it all is the most interesting wrinkle at this point, because I think, and I am speculating, I'm working with no further info than you guys have from talking to Nate Taylor, but I think that the familiar path has always felt like the most likely one. If that's Mike Kafka, if that's Eric Bieniemy, it's guys who have been in this staff before, have worked with Mahomes before, and most importantly, have worked for Andy Reid before. It is still Andy Reid's offense. The Cliff Kingsbury angle is just fascinating, because it seems like if there was a time for Mahomes to really vouch for somebody and to say, hey, I know the inclination here is to reunite with familiar faces, but I, Patrick Mahomes, if this is true, really believe that Cliff Kingsbury is going to add something to this offense where he can marry a little bit of some freshness into a pre-existing Andy Reid system that has been built over decades. I am intrigued by that. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury would be my number one overall offensive coordinator choice if I was starting a brand new team right now. But the specifics of how the Chiefs are structured, it has kind of felt like a 2-3-man race with Kafka, Bieniemy, and Kingsbury. I'll be very curious to see if they interview Nathan Shielhouse, a guy who would also be on a list for me. Of like, I'd like to see what he could do trying to, again, marry some of those McVay ideas into a Reid system. But I truly do not know how interested Andy Reid and the Chiefs are in like a real outsider versus somebody like Kafka or Bieniemy, who would at least bring some new outside ideas because they haven't been here the last several years.
Yeah, I guess I fight with this notion. I've heard some people be like, no, I want new ideas, fresh ideas, talking about Cliff as in he's been in this system. Cliff has no connection to the Andy Reid tree.
Just Mahomes.
The Andy Reid system. Yeah, the only person he's connected to is Patrick Mahomes. I would view that as a completely outside hire with no one connected to Reid, which is rare. Even Spags, right? We think, well, Spags wasn't on his staff. Him and Spags were on a staff together in Philly. They go way the hell back. Maybe he wasn't in the same role, but like everybody Andy brings in is somebody he's known for a billion years or coached with in Green Bay or some other stuff. And so like Cliff would be
played for him at some point
or played for him.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Pinkston. I feel like Cliff Kingsbury would be a completely outside hire. I don't know why people are associating with that's more of the same of like bringing in Kafka or Bieniemy.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I think that the canary in the coal mine, that might be the wrong turn of phrase in this case, but I don't think there's a gas leak. But I think that the red flag for some people might be that Kingsbury also leans into the RPOs very heavily. And I understand that there is overlapping, and that's going to be true for almost every offense in the NFL. And you might say, oh, great. Well, so the way they're going to fix this is by bringing in an outside voice who also loves to rely on the RPO and also loves a shotgun
and
run.
Hates to run.
So, yeah, it's still going to be Andy Reid's offense, and it's still Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback. Like, I don't think that we are going to see I'll say with confidence, we're not going to see a massive offensive overhaul where Andy Reid steps back into a CEO role and just hands the keys of the entire offense to Mike McDaniel. Like, that's not realistic. So I do think that Kingsbury deserves to be thought of as a rare outside candidate in the way that you're setting up there, Cody. And then also there will be some overlap. Again, the RPO games and Andy will take stuff from other things schematically from throughout football history. There are some air raids sprinkled into the DNA of this Chiefs offense here and there. And obviously they took things that worked at Texas Tech for Mahomes, not to change Andy Reid's offense entirely, but to maximize on Mahomes, especially early on. Well, now we are several iterations of the offense. We are many years of evolution in the NFL into what this team has been. And I would be happy with the Kingsbury hire. Even though I think again, like the McDaniel dream scenario is probably the most fun. I think Kingsbury as a realistic one would still be pretty exciting. And also I will say, I like Mike Kafka. I think that he would make a lot of sense, and it seemed like that he had good relationships when he was here. Obviously, we've talked about Eric Bieniemy a ton over the years. You want to say that, hey, he brings a attention to detail and an intensity that this team has been lacking, I would probably agree with you there. But I do think that having somebody who's done more away from the Andy Reid tree would just be a more interesting marriage to see what the offense would look like in 2026.
I will say whoever the OC is, if the offense improves at all, everybody's going to think that OC is the biggest genius on earth in Kansas City. They're going to think that that was the biggest issue for the offense sucking because everybody blames it on Matt Nagy, not what you were saying, which is it's still going to fundamentally be Andy Reid's offense.
Yes, and look, that's the thing with Andy Reid here. The credit is owed to him, and the blame goes to him.
Yes.
He talks about having 51% of the vote. He's comfortable with that because he's one of the greatest coaches in NFL history, one of the greatest offensive minds. And look, I'm not arguing that the offense has looked genius these last couple of years, this last year in particular. But when he says, I've got 51% of the vote, that's a double-edged sword, and I think in a positive way. It's reminding everybody he's in charge, but also if you want to point the finger at somebody, hey, point it at me, don't point it at the assistants, don't point it at the players and all of that. Like, I think that's a very quintessential Andy Reid thing. And I'll say on that point, Gold, we heard people talking about Eric Bieniemy as if he was the problem before he ended up leaving. And now Eric Bieniemy is the solution, the secret ingredient, the straw that stirred the drink. And so I think there's just, we're having a real kind of like ex-girlfriend problem where it's just like, I just can't stand her. I just can't wait to get away from her. And a few years later, like, I'm lonely. I miss what she brought to my life. I think a marriage with Kingsbury would be the most interesting one. But if you want to date your ex, you know, I understand. I do think that Bieniemy got too much blame. And then when the offense sputtered, the memory of Bieniemy got too much credit. Ultimately, credit and blame, it goes to Andy Reid at the top. And I think that's very clearly how this team is structured. And it's worked out pretty well. I know this year did not go that well. It's worked out pretty well. Although I do think it is time for that to evolve. Not change the org chart, but to bring in a little bit of freshness. But again, to your point, whoever it is that's the OC, if the offense is much better next year, I'm probably going to start by giving credit to Andy Reid.
It's unrelated, Briscoe, but before you get out of here, the way you were describing relationships made me think of you. You were on Fesco and Dusty the other day, and I got to say, I didn't like it when you said the word lover. That's something about like the way you
context?
Said that made me
in
uncomfortable.
What context?
In describing his now wife.
Oh,
he said from friends
lover.
To lovers, and I didn't like the way he said lovers.
Look, I have to wax poetic when I'm given the opportunity, and if someone accused me of being a Cody and Gold lover, I'd have to plead guilty.
Briscoe, appreciate it, man. Enjoy a full weekend of wild card football. Real quick, I guess, who do you have winning, Bills or Jags?
I kind of like the Jags, but here's my thing. I think Bills Jags is my Super Bowl pick out of the AFC, whoever wins that game. I don't feel great about that, but I don't feel great about anything in these playoffs.
Yeah, I think Ross Tucker said the same thing about that being kind of the Super Bowl, or the winner of that game goes to the Super Bowl as well. Briscoe, appreciate it, man.
Jags Bears Super Bowl. Can you imagine? That would be electric. Thanks, guys.